My dear viewers, we welcome you to our program, Questions About Faith, with our honorable guest here with us, Reverend Zachariah Boudros. You are most welcome.
Thank you.
In the previous episode, we spoke about the prophet and who the messenger is and what his mission is and his relationship to God. And we also spoke about the qualities of the messenger. The Quran as well says about the messenger that he came as mercy to mankind. The Quran says also about Muhammad, you have been formed with a tremendous character. And about Muhammad it says again, in God's messenger you have a fine model. We received further questions about the character of the messenger. So shall we continue discussing how much the character of Muhammad corresponds to the requirements of the messenger?
Okay, let's continue then. But before we continue, I would like to re-emphasize, one must be reminded of the words of Sheikh Dr. Abdul Mu'izz Abdul Sattar, who demanded all the holy books be put on trial. In the words of Dr. Aisha Abdul Rahman, who said that we must expose everything and speak frankly and openly about the Prophet's private life. I repeat this to the viewers because perhaps we have some new ones who came to listen and watch. I am repeating the same background so that nobody might think we are attacking a religion or the prophet of a religion. We rather are expressing our inquiries in the form of a dialogue, and we hope that from the other end, some excellent scholars of Islam would show up and tell us, you have said such and such, but our religion says such and such, and we have the traditions, they say such and such, and lay out their evidence. So what we are doing is a must, and therefore we must continue our discussion on this subject. Just as you have read to us about the Prophet, that he was a good model and was given tremendous character, so we pose our questions. One simply asks questions, nothing more and nothing less, because as long as we have a mind that thinks, we must use it. And here is my question. How much does this tremendous character and this good model apply to some acts, which I myself have very big question marks about, each one of them? Do you get my point? For example, the way he treated people who disagreed with him in opinion. What I want to say is, if someone is really given a tremendous character, someone who is a good role model should check out the opinion different from his and answer the other person logically. And if this person still disagrees, then according to what he used to say during the Meccan period, he would tell him, you have your religion and I have my own religion. I am only a teller of good news and a warner. I have come only to tell a report. But to be honest with you, his behavior gave me such a shock, and I would like people to answer me about that. Go ahead.
You are saying now that the Prophet Muhammad did not live in peace with others.
I am posing it as a question. These are facts that I read, and I am merely asking questions, not attacking. I am posing a question so that we might think about it, and whoever has an answer, I ask him to please write to us at the address that will appear on the screen. So what's my question? There was an old, wise, respectable woman at her time whose name was Qurfa. That woman was 120 years old, but she was considered a sage among the Arabs. This woman expressed her opinion, which opposed the messenger. So what he did was, he sent a delegation to her led by Zayd ibn Haritha, who went there. And I can't really believe it. They took hold of this old woman, turned her upside down, put her feet up and her head down, and got two camels facing each other like that, and tied one leg of the woman to the neck of this camel, and the other leg to the neck of the other camel. And they kept whipping the camels in order to go in opposite directions, and the woman was split in two.
What a gruesome sight!
My question here is why? I mean, okay, a mercy to all mankind, but would someone explain to me what kind of mercy is there in this instance? This is just a question, just a question. And if anyone has an answer, please go ahead and tell us. And likewise, he treated other men and women. Can you imagine that?
Do you have any reference? Is this incident mentioned in a certain book or something?
Yes, of course. In the Prophet's biography, in the history in the Prophet's biography, on the internet. The book of Maghazi by Al-Waqidi. And many others, it is mentioned. Do you know how many opponents he avenged himself on? He avenged himself on 13 opponents by assassinating them by the sword. Some had just been married. He sent them an expedition to congratulate him, which is to pretend so, and they ran the sword into his belly.
Have you got names or persons, names of specific people?
Oh yes, of course. For example, I've got someone named Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf, Abu Afak the Jew, Ibn al-Akhtal, Anas ibn Zainam, the Christian, Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith, al-Huwayrith ibn al-Tafid, Uqba ibn Abi Ma'id, Ka'b ibn Zuhair, ibn Abi al-Hakik. They went to that man, knocked at the door at night. His wife came out saying, "What's going on?" They shut up her mouth, threatened her by the sword, and said, "If you utter a word, we'll cut off your head." They went in to the man, who was then asleep on his bed. Then they took the sword. The man placed the sword in his belly, and then threw himself on the handle of the sword until he heard the bones cracking by the sword. And the sword went out from the man's back. Such peculiar things form such big question marks in my head. Al-Aswad al-Absi, Abdullah ibn Sa'ad, al-Harith ibn Samit, Abdullah ibn Abi Asarh. But for the interception of Uthman ibn Affan, what did this Abdullah ibn Abi Asarh do? He was a scribe. He was from Quraysh tribe, and believed in Islam, and became a scribe of the Prophet. He wrote down things, but when the verse about creation came down, and the man was so pleased with it, I mean, Abdullah ibn Abi Asah, so he said to the messenger, "Blessed be God, the best of creators." So Muhammad said to him, "And so it has been revealed." So he wrote it. Then the man thought to himself, "If I wrote the verse exactly as it was revealed, then I must be a prophet. If I say the words as they are inspired, then I am a prophet. But in case it has not been revealed, as the messenger said, then I must be following what?" And he kept silent. He betook himself and went back to Quraysh, I mean to Mecca. So when the conquest took place, I mean the conquest of Mecca, the Prophet said to them, "Go to so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so, and bring them, even if they are holding on to the curtains of Kaaba. Kill them." He told them to kill them. So Uthman interceded for this man and told him, "Never mind, let the man go." So he let him go, and later he embraced Islam again and returned. But he wanted to kill him. But why should the opponents be liquidated? Why don't we give them a chance? You are a man of mercy, aren't you? Haven't you been sent as mercy to mankind? These are questions. I'm not protesting, I'm just asking. Do you know how many women he also assassinated?
I don't know.
Kirfa, the one he split in two. Asma bint Marwan, he sent to her Umar ibn Abdi, who killed her. When the man returned and said, "I killed her," you know what the Prophet said to him? "Oh, Umar, you granted victory to God and His Messenger, granted him victory by assassination." Another question mark here. I'm not protesting, I am just asking. The lady Sara, who was a slave of Amr ibn Hashim, Hind bint Aba ibn Rabia, and two daughters of Ibn al-Akhtal. This is written in Sahih of Muslim, in Al-Sira al-Nabawiyya, and in a book called Al-Maghazi by Al-Waqidi. You can find it on the internet, and moreover, something that I could not really imagine, to be honest. All these were assassinations. When he had killed the children of Quraidha, the men of the tribe, he took the women and the progeny, that's the offspring, and I was shocked when I read this in the book Al-Maghazi.
He took them captive.
He took them captive, and not only that, he sent them away and had them sold in Syria. And with their prices, he purchased weapons and horses. This is from Islamic references.
What reference is that?
Al-Maghazi by Al-Waqidi. You can find it on the internet. Type Sira al-Nabawiyya. Click on it.
Which website?
Al-Sira al-Nabawiyya.
That's the name of the website?
No, it is Islam.
Islam?
And then Al-Sira al-Nabawiyya.
Sira al-Nabawiyya on the internet?
Right, on the internet. So how? How can you? It is a very difficult situation. Where is mercy here? I'm just asking, where is the mercy? I'm not attacking the Prophet of Islam, but I'm only inquiring, where is mercy in the assassination of any opponent? Why? Of course, such matters are never discussed. No one could talk them over. They are completely blacked out. But of course, we are now in the 21st century. And according to what Aisha Abdurrahman says, the concealment of the report about the private life of the messenger is not compatible with the integrity of research. Not compatible with the integrity of research, nor does it follow the guidance of the Holy Quran, which made sure to report things in evidence of the Prophet's humanity. So it is no more permissible for a Muslim student to ignore mentioning them. There is not a single aspect of the life of the Prophet of God that I studied that I am embarrassed to expose to the light of research. And it seems because she says, not a single aspect of what I studied of the life of the Prophet. So it seems she has not been conclusive in her study and has missed this bit out. But we are in need of answers. Yes, a man may have enemies, may have opponents. You know, any other person may kill and assassinate, but we are talking here about someone who is a good model, an example, a prophet. Hard to grasp.
I wonder, this is my question here, I wonder what the Bible says about treatment of one's enemies and others.
Well done, really well done. This is a very good comparison. Christ said in the well-known Sermon on the Mountain, in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7, he said, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. This is what Christ says. Very beautiful. You know, two of Christ's disciples went to a certain town. They were beaten to death there, and they were left to die. But after they recovered, they came back rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. A man living for a mission suffers for its sake and labors hard for it. That's why I can't understand the behavior of the Prophet of Islam under these circumstances. I do not want to judge, but I cannot even understand. And I believe there are so many like me who do not understand. And if someone goes to ask, they say, do not ask. Do not discuss, O Ali. Do not ask about things. If they are revealed to you, they would offend you.
Do I gather from what you are saying that if someone abuses me, I just say to him, God bless you? This is very difficult.
Difficult, yes. Difficult for the human nature. But a man who lives with God, and here's the difference that I mean, that Christianity gives inner power to man. When he asks God, God gives him the power of the Holy Spirit. He enables him to act properly. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. There is an enablement that man receives, but the natural man cannot. How can he live? How can he do that? And that's the reason. I'm saying that something is missing, and people must seek it. And that's the power of God in man's life, God's grace in man's life. This is very important in order for man not to do those things. And these are very difficult things, assassinations and bloodshed. It is really gruesome. So I ask the viewer, the brother who was watching us, to think about those things and ask. He should read books. He shouldn't just go on without knowing. He must read books, get acquainted with things, delve into references, and if he can't understand, he should ask mullahs, sheikhs, or teachers in order to find the truth. He should say, I read such and such, what does that mean? Because here we must respect the mind of man, isn't it? In order to make a decision about his life. Which direction is one taking? Which path? Which area? But the problem that I encounter, which is an essential hidden issue, namely that the feeling of Muslims in general is that this is a Zionist Christian invasion. Those people want to topple Islam and come to possess the Islamic countries. And then the whole world will be Christian and Jewish. But I personally have absolutely no political goals. I don't know about politics, nor am I in the pay of any political agency. I am merely addressing the intellect. I am addressing your intellect. Think, my dear, and check out the road you are taking, how it is. It is your right to think. But unfortunately, what I encounter is that the vast majority of people try to keep the status quo. If one is born in a Christian family, he continues as a Christian. If born in a Jewish family, he continues to be Jew. And if born in a Muslim family, he continues to be Muslim. But to what end? Mustn't we all think and make our own decisions? And therefore, I say the following. The Quran says that he is the prophet of mercy. The Quran says again that he is a good model of conduct, a good example. The Quran says he was given tremendous character, but the actions we see him doing require reconsideration, just an attempt to understand in order to see things clear and hold on to the right doctrine. For example, at the time of Moses, the law said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, because that was the time of the law, before the time of grace came. The law is the sharia for the natural man who behaves carnally without divine power. So when the time of grace came, man was given power and enablement to live at this divine level that is superior and elevated. Okay then, do we go back to the age of the law and again live eye for eye and a tooth for a tooth, assassinate, avenge for ourselves, and do all sorts of things? One needs to pause here. After someone receives his PhD, will he go back again and study first primary school, go backward? One is supposed to progress, to develop, to enter in a life of grace, and so forth. So in fact, there are 13 men here and 6 women who were killed, which makes 19 in addition to the female captives of the tribe of Qurayza, who were taken away and sold in Syria in order to buy with their price weapons and horses. A pause here. This requires a pause. Does the slave market still exist? Is there still a slave market? This also reminds me of a story from the biography of Muhammad, based on prophetic tradition. Muhammad went to a market and saw someone named Zahir. He had known him previously. He came up behind him and took hold of Zahir like this and tied him. So Zahir inquired, "Who this is? Who is this?" He answered, "I am the one who buys the slaves."
Who said that?
The Prophet. "I am a prophet who buys the slaves and he also sells them." But Islam was supposed to have emerged in order, at least this is what they tell us, to free people from captivity, grant freedom to people. But these are all inquiries. You know, things must reach a level of accurate understanding. The spirit of vengeance, the spirit of assassination, because the Bible says, "From the abundance of the heart, the tongue speaks." If a man's heart is clean, he leads a clean life. But how can someone call for such superior principles to tolerance, to love? A man who represents God on earth, yet avenges for himself, a peculiar position. So all there is to say is that the message of the messenger is a message of love. He calls people to worship God, and how? By good instruction. Not by avenging for oneself on opponents. We hope and we ask God that He would open the eyes and give grace. The most crucial thing, to be honest, a life of religion requires a man to be totally transformed from his old nature. The avenging, hateful nature, which lives by human instinct, man should be transformed. The Bible says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your minds." Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It is a process of renewal from the inside, a process of transformation on the inside. To be honest, we don't see any such thing in Islam. Islam does not help people to be changed. It does not even exhort them to be changed. Islam gives a few do's and don'ts, but the nature on the inside is not capable of abiding.
True faith, then, is for man to be changed on the inside from the old human nature, that of evil and sin, and aspire for an intimate relationship with the Creator, with God, in order to lead a life of purity and holiness.
That's right. History. History of saints tells us a very beautiful story about a saint who used to be a professor in the university in Torino, whose name was Augustine. This Augustine led a life of dissipation and degradation, but his mother was a godly woman who used to pray for him. She kept on praying for him for 20 years. And then his students told him, "There is a bishop preaching eloquently." The professor was an orator, so he went in order to criticize the bishop. But as he was there holding his paper and pen in order to write down his criticism of this eloquent speech, he could not write down a single word until the end of the sermon. Why? Because he liked what he heard. He wanted to repent, but he always kept on saying, "Not now, Lord. I want to repent and surrender my heart to you, but not yet." So on a certain day, he got very sick. A friend of his and himself went out to a park, sat down, and all of a sudden he heard a sound as if of a heavenly choir saying to him, "Take and read." And he had a hunch to take the Bible and read it. He opened the Bible at Romans 13. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. He knelt down at the same place and said, Lord, I led a very wicked life. I want to live a new life. Would you please change me? Give me a new heart and a new nature. And when he was changed, he went home, and one of his lovers came to him and tried to come in. But he told her, the Augustine you used to know is now dead, but now lives a new Augustine who lives for God with a new heart and a new nature that hates sin. That is a saint. So there is a touch of change or transformation.
Thank you very much. We have run out of time, and until we meet again in another episode, God willing. My dear viewers, God says about man that man is a vessel of mercy whom God has preordained for glory, that is, the glory of God. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, by faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is the gift of God and the will of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If you are seeking the truth, lift up your heart now with me to God and ask God to reveal the truth to you, because he is the truth itself. And Jesus Christ also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Thank you again, dear viewers. We are glad to send you a free copy of the Bible. If you have any questions, or you would like to have a free copy of the Bible sent to you, mail us at the addresses written on the screen before you now. Thank you, and until we meet again in a new episode, we leave you in God's safe hands. Thank you.